everybody. It's Dr. Amy Myers. Welcome to the latest episode of the Myers Way podcast. You guys, it's going to be just me today. I wanted a little one-on-one time with you as we are ending 2013 and going into 2014. So first, I want to thank you guys for all of your support that have made my practice, my Facebook page, my blog, and this podcast just so successful, reaching so many, many people and helping them in many ways that, you know, I will just never know, but many people do reach out and report that their life has been changed by something that we talked about. So I appreciate you spreading the word about the Myers Way and about Austin Ultra Health and about me, Amy Myers, MD. All right. Well, today I wanted to talk to you guys about something that's really important, which is detoxification. I know that as the year is ending and everybody's getting into the new year and New Year's resolutions, detox and cleanses are such a big topic. And it's great that people get on the bandwagon and do that at the beginning of the year. There can certainly be positive attributes to it. There can be some harmful ones and things you need to look out for. But more importantly, I just want to express how I think that detoxification should not be something that's just done once or twice a year. I really feel like we live in a toxic world. Things are only getting worse. I'm not trying to get people depressed here, but things are really just getting out of hand. And so we need to take it into our own hands to make sure that our detoxification pathways are really working optimally every single day. Because back in the day, you know, of our great grandparents, they didn't have the toxins that we have. I mean, even in our own lifetimes, the amount of toxins that come out. In fact, it's estimated that there are 7 million chemicals that exist, and 80,000 are common ones that we use, and the EPA and the FDA don't exactly know, you know, what chemicals are really in these products. So just to give you some idea, I mean, I'm not against the government, but, you know, in terms of looking out for our food supply and looking out for chemicals and looking out, you know, for the healthcare industry, I really do feel like that most people that are making these decisions are really the lobbyists who are lobbying for their best interest, which is to make money. And so it's really in their best interest to make a product that works and kills something or makes something shiny or cleans something or, you know, makes it so that, you know, this new nail polish to, you know, these gel nails to where now you don't ever, you know, have to take the nail polish off. And when you do, of course, you're using something super toxic to get it off. But anyway, they're in the business of making money, not to keep us necessarily safe. And the EPA is just really overwhelmed with all the applications that they get. They get between 2,000 and 2,500 new applications a year. That's about 40 to 50 a week for new chemicals or products. And 8 out of 10, that's 80% of them, are approved in 3 weeks or less, with often without any data whatsoever. And it's like a lot of things. They're really, if they are looking at the data, it's that one chemical. They're not looking at that chemical combined with the other chemical. And if you read any of my articles on body care, you know it's all the different parabens and phthalates and things to stay away from. And if you haven't read that, you can find that on my blog, Amy Myers MD. Under beauty and body care, you'll see that article. I'm not going to get into it here, but what I talk about in that article is the reason that the beauty industry says that these tiny amounts of phthalates and parabens are insignificant is because they say it's such a tiny amount. But really, when someone has a beauty product, they're often getting sources from multiple places to make up that product. So that little bit of paraben could be coming from one person that isn't a big deal. But when you add 5 different sources of things into one product, then suddenly you've got a fair amount of parabens. And then most people don't use one body product and they don't use it just one time a day. So it's really what I tell my patients in general, whether we're talking about foods, toxins in the air, toxins that we're putting on our skin, that we all have this glass of water. And if we're lucky, like my great-grandmother, she died at 103. She was alive the vast majority of my life. It was quite amazing. In fact, my mother died at 59, the same year my great-grandmother died at 103. And so if you're lucky, you're like my great-grandmother and not like my mother, whose glass overfilled much sooner than likely anybody would have wished. So we all have this glass of water, and if you're lucky, this glass of water overflows. We're getting these little drops, what I say, we're getting drops of toxins in our body or in our system every day. We're getting stressors. And when I say toxin, of course, we're kind of talking about chemicals, but also a toxin can be stress. A toxin can be EMFs. A toxin can be a stressful job or a terrible marriage. It can be, of course, gluten, or it could be candida. So all of these things are toxins in our body. And we're getting these little drops of in our cup of water every day. And if your detox systems are working properly, then you're able to get rid of, you know, what you're putting into your body, or at least hopefully keeping a very little amount of it. And then at some point, that cup is going to overflow. And if you're lucky, you're like my great-grandmother, and it's peacefully at 103, had amazing life, never suffered, and really was never sick, and just simply, quote-unquote, died of old age. We don't hear those stories too often anymore. I mean, we're hearing the stories of autoimmune diseases. We're hearing the stories of cancer. We're hearing the stories of autism. We're hearing the stories of allergies and eczema, you know, very, very early in life and with many, many more people than we ever knew about before. And why is this? Well, part of it is, I think, detoxification. As you know, listening to me, part of it's our food supply. Part of it's our leaky guts. But anyway, so the point of all of this is to say detoxification is not something that you just, in my opinion, do once or twice a year and then you're done with it. You need to be doing this every day. So I'm going to kind of talk to you about signs and symptoms of how, you know, thoughts that you might need to detox, how to detox, and really the number one thing that I can impart on you is really prevention. And so kind of the three main things that I think about are the air you breathe, the water and food, you know, that you eat, and of course, the water that you're drinking and the water that you bathe with. So how do toxins get in? They get in through, how does anything get in? You know, we breathe it in through our respiratory tract. We eat it, we consume it, or we drink it, or we put it on our body and absorb it through our skin. So those are the three main things. Really, anything gets into our body is either eating it, drinking it, putting it on our skin, on our body, or breathing it through our lungs. So let's just kind of take a look at all three of those things. So the air you breathe. So you might think, well, you know, I work in my office and I'm in my house and I barely go outside. Well, in fact, the APA believes that our indoor air quality is 5 times more toxic than our outdoor air quality. Of course, that's going to be dependent on your city if you're living in somewhere rural and have fresh air versus you're living in New York or LA. But the point being that we bring all these things into our homes, you know, the mattress that we sleep on, the rugs that we have, the flooring that we have, the paint that we use, the sofa you're sitting on, all of these things. Again, this is not meant to depress anybody. This is just the reality of the world. And so I'm going to give you real tools that you can use to, you know, help detox from these toxins. Yes, if you can buy things that are organic or made of real wood rather than synthetic and particle board and things like that. Still with the real wood, you've got to worry about about there being formaldehyde and stuff in it. So you got to ask questions. I'm not going to get into all of that. I write a lot about it in that I wrote another article about I think it's like 10 tips to avoid for a toxic home. The feedback that I got from that article is it was pretty overwhelming for people and that realistically they couldn't do it all. Of course, you can buy secondhand or used things so they've already off-gassed or, you know, older things and restore them. Being somebody who's been affected by toxic mold, I personally avoid that. But, you know, if you're not somebody sensitive or you know where the furniture came from, that is a really good idea. You're, of course, recycling something. It's not going into the landfills. It's already off-gassed or likely if it's older, it's made of real wood and not particle board and things like that. So, and now, you know, we have to have fire retardants and everything on our mattress and our sofa and everything like that. It's here, you know, our rugs here to protect us, but also giving off a lot of chemicals. So that is why the air in your home potentially is more toxic than the air outside. So what is one thing you can do? Well, we've already kind of talked about them. Of course, buying organic products, products that don't have these things. In my article, I put a lot of links, particularly if you get it off of my blog, to some places, even things like Crate and Barrel is now making furniture out of soy foam rather than synthetic foams. And, you know, a lot of places are getting on board with organic materials or cotton materials, things like that. But one of the things that I do, and if you've obviously been to my office, you'll see that we have IQ Air HEPA purifiers, air purifiers throughout the office, and I also have them at my home. So I, for years, have had a HEPA filter in my bedroom and slept with that. I mean, if you figure, when you detox, the vast majority of it happens while we're sleeping. So I really try to make sure that my bedroom is as clean as possible. I do have an organic mattress. I understand not everybody can afford to do that. It's just, you know, where I put my priorities rather than other things. These are the things that are important to me. And I have a HEPA filter. Another good brand, we sell the IQ Airs, and we sell them cheaper than you can get on the IQ Air website. Also Austin Air. I used to carry those until I found the IQ Air. But Austin Air is another really good brand that you can get. If you get one of these ones from, you know, Home Depot or something like that, because they're a lot cheaper, they are definitely a lot cheaper, but just something to consider when you're buying a HEPA filter is the filter itself. So one of the things that makes the IQ Air and the Austin Air more expensive is not only the quality of what it's able to filter out, which is, of course, the most important question to ask when you're looking for an air filter, but also how often do you need to change the filter? So what makes these two air filters more expensive than something that you can get at Home Depot or something like that is that the air filters typically last several years in the Austin Air. I know they last up to 5 years. So, or if you need it beforehand, they will prorate the cost of the filter for you. So when you're getting one of these cheaper models and every month or every 2 months you're having to buy a new air filter, you really got to think about that in terms of the cost, and it may not really be saving you money, and they definitely are not filtering out as much of the pollutants. And what I really like about the IQ Air is they even have one for chemically sensitive people, which I was after my mold exposure. So I got that, or if you're moving into a new home or redoing your home, of course, the first step is using non-toxic products. But if you can't do that, or even if you've done that, you know, getting one of these high power filters. So that's number one. Prevention is, you know, getting an air filter in your house. If you can afford to do that, highly, highly recommend it. So that helps with the air you're breathing. And then, of course, really being cognizant of the products that you're buying. So then skin, what are we getting through our skin? Body products. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I've written an article on this, and I've also had two different podcasts on speaking with Shirley from Well People and Bob from Keys Soap products. So highly recommend both of those things, but also just listening to those podcasts talking about, you know, the body products, particularly the one with Bob about Keys Soap. We really talk about the skin and absorbing the body products. But water, people don't really think about it. You are absorbing a lot through your skin with a bath or through a shower. So again, these are relatively inexpensive, is getting a shower filter. I personally use Aquasana. It's a local Austin-based company. I really like to support local companies if I can, because they typically also support me. And just in general, I want to support my community. So their water filters are really, for the shower, are not expensive. What I have is, I mean, great if you can afford a whole house filtration system. I personally live in an apartment, so I don't have that. But if you can do that, that's the best thing. So the water is being filtered prior to coming into your house, and then every faucet that you turn on, even the washing machine, is using this filtered water. And it is, in my opinion, the best water filter out there. So definitely Aquasana, Aquasana, is the website. We also, I'm an affiliate, being, you know, open here. We have a link on our website if you want to do that, or I can give you the contact for Mara Flynn, who can help you out as well. And if you tell her that you heard from me, I'll get that number at the end, or also post it on the actual blog here. Then she, I'm sure, will give you some discount if you tell her that I sent you. But anyway, so I have their water filters on my shower, and since I don't have a whole house shower filtration system, I have one of the ones that has an arm on it, so it has the pulley, and I just let that fall down and put it in the bathtub so I can either take a shower or a bath. And these are like $150. I'm not saying that that's, you know, super duper cheap, but, you know, for the fact that you're going to shower at least probably once a day or bathe, if not twice, your skin is the largest organ that we have, and you know, everything is getting absorbed there when you're in the bathtub. So highly recommend that. And then, of course, this is more in the what we eat and drink, but also having a water filter. And they have under the sink counter ones, on the sink counter ones. And then they just came out with a new filter that is to rival the Brita filter. And I have one of those as well. That's what I use because, again, I'm in an apartment. And it filters out more than a Pure or a Brita filter does. So anyway, drinking or, you know, bodies, you got to think about the body products, which you're putting on your body, and then the bath. That is one of the places that most people do not think about. And in my research for a talk that I was actually giving about water, I was reading another book about autoimmune disease, because as you all know, I'm writing a book on autoimmune. And there was a study by Kathleen Gilbert, who is at Children's Hospital in Arkansas, and she was studying about TCEs, which are trichloroethylenes, and these are in frequently in water, and they're bad when they're in water because you can absorb them, but even worse when you take a hot shower, because not only are you absorbing it through your skin, they're volatile compounds that then heat up and become gaseous, and you breathe them in. So you're getting the double whammy with that. That's the same thing with chlorine as well. So you might think, oh, my hot shower, this is awesome. Or I'm taking a shower, so I'm not getting as much exposure. I'm not sitting in a bathtub. But often these things can be worse because some of the chemicals in the shower can become volatile compounds that you then breathe in as well. And one of the interesting things about this, how it's relevant here, it may or may not be, but I'm definitely going to be quoting this in my book, is she did this research where they tagged with a, it wasn't radioactive, but it was some sort of, I forgot now because I don't have it written down here and I was reading this a while ago, but basically they tagged the TCE with something that they could see on an electronic microscope and saw that when this was absorbed into the body, it changed the T cells, which are some of the major immune cells in our body. And what they also saw was that when you have a big exposure to something, like a horrible something, you know, some sort of chemical plant explodes or, you know, 9/11 happens and it's a one-time exposure, although that was probably chronic for many people, but a one-time exposure of something is bad, of course. But a lot of times the body can recover. But what they saw in their research was that it was these chronic exposures, the chronic exposures to the TCEs and chronic exposures to other chemicals that then changed the immune cells and then led to all kinds of chaos. And then what they assumed was then leading to autoimmunity. So definitely think that this is a big part, these chemicals, and it's these chronic exposures. So you might think, oh, I just get a little bit. Well, just getting that little bit over a long period of time is far worse for you than getting a lot over a little bit of a time. And that's, again, one of the things that I'd like to take home, like you guys to take home here, is that is what is probably really happening, is that we are all getting a little bit of a lot of different things over a lot of different years, and then we're having more cancers, more autism, more ADD, more autoimmunity, for sure. So definitely thinking that that's part of the that's part of the process, and it is why nobody's really alarmed, right? I mean, we're alarmed when the big chemical, you know, plant incident happens, but the chemical companies aren't alarmed because it's this low-level exposure, and it's really hard to pinpoint which thing in the exposure caused the problem, and it probably, as you've heard me say before, or certainly if you're one of my patients and you've heard me talk, it's never one thing. I mean, by the time you made it into my office, it's never one thing. I'm not going to find the one thing that is just, boom, going to get it. It's usually multiple things. It's not just candida. It's usually candida and gluten, or heavy metals and candida and gluten. You know, I mean, it's, or toxic mold. I mean, it's usually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different things. It's not usually just one thing. That's it. I mean, for some people it is, but by the time you've coming to see me, it's not. And then the last is, you know, what you put in your body, which is, again, the food we eat and the water we drink. So you can certainly get on EWG.org and look at the, you know, organic foods, you know, the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And, you know, if you can't afford to eat all organic, One of the things I'd like to say, if you are eating meats, you know, really do try to get organic if you can and grass fed, because it's sort of like the food chain. You know, that's the highest on the food chain, and then you're eating it. So when you eat that, you're consuming everything, you know, below it. So if you're not getting organic chicken, you know, beef, and pork, lamb, whatever it is that you're eating, then you are getting GMO feed. So I know everybody out there can't afford to do all organic and all, you know, grass-fed and everything like that. So one of the most common questions that I get is like, you know, where are the priorities? Well, I would say the priorities are more with the meats than it is the fruits and the vegetables. And then when it comes to the fruits and the vegetables, of course, if you can do it all, do it all. I mean, that is the preferred. If you can't do it all, then get on EWG and look at their list of the you know, really must have organic fruits and vegetables, and the ones that are, you know, relatively okay to not be eating. I also advocate, I mean, Costco has really gotten on board with, you know, the demand out there. You can get grass-fed beef. You can get whole organic chickens. You can frequently get, I mean, they have the exact same organic spinach that they have at Whole Foods at like $2 off a bin. So they're really getting with the times. Or, of course, I always advocate, you know, local farmers and, you know, buying in bulk, things like that, sharing, you know, a cow or whatever with someone else. Please be aware that when you go down to the farmer's market, just because it's at a farmer's market does not mean it's organic. So I've also probably talked about this before, but I went to the, down to the, our local farmer's market one weekend, and I was going to get some eggs, and I looked at the woman and I said, are your eggs fed? And she said, yes, they are. I mean, she knew exactly what I was asking. And I stopped and I said, they're fed GMO feed? And she said, yes, the chickens are. So I put them back. Same with the chicken I was about to buy. So you have got to ask questions. It is fabulous to support your local farmer, but all local farmers are not using all organic. So you really need to ask questions. And when I have said this to people, they have been dumbfounded and floored at the idea. So the reason that I do this, you know, I have, you know, my gosh, if you came to my house, I do absolutely practice what I preach. We'll get into this. I have a gigantic sauna in my living room right next to my sofa. I have air filters throughout my house. I have water filters throughout my house. And everything that I purchase for my home that I eat is organic. Now, I A, have the luxury of doing that, and B, this is where I put my priorities. Other people, you know, that I know, it's a certain pair of shoes, a certain sort of purse, that kind of thing. That those things don't interest me. These are the things that interest me. I know that I do not detoxify well. My mother passed away from cancer at 59. My father has an autoimmune disease. I have an autoimmune disease. You know, this is where I put my money. I practice what I preach. Now, the reason that I do all of this is because I don't want to be a nut and a fanatic and a crazy person when I go out to eat with my friends. Yes, I try to eat in the healthy restaurants. Yes, I try to eat in the places that have local. I try to eat in places that have organic. But I can't always do that. There are very, very few of them. I'm not going to limit my life when I step out the door. So if I can control my life to the degree that I can in my own home and in my own office, if you come in our office, we have recycled carpet on the floor with no glue down. We use no VOC paints. We have, you know, air filters throughout. So we do the best that we can in the environment, you know, for which we are, which I am. I try to do the best that I can, because when I step out the door, I can't control that. And I want to be able to live a life and, you know, enjoy friendships and go out to dinner and do things with people. Yes, I do think about it, and it crosses my mind as I'm eating something in a restaurant, and I know it's not organic and I know it's GMO fed. And maybe there are people that are like me that wouldn't even go out to eat, or only going to go to the restaurant that doesn't have those things. And that is great if you can do that, or cook literally every meal at home. That is wonderful. you know, I want to be able to, you know, partake in, you know, with friends and things like that. Luckily, many of my friends are either physicians that practice functional medicine. They're in this field. They're life coaches. They're nutritionists. They're health advocates. So we're on the same page. So when we are choosing a restaurant or doing an activity, we're in alignment, and we do pick the best that we can. But again, you know, the even living in Austin, it hasn't caught up with the times. Or even when you go to Whole Foods and you get a taco, yes, the chicken doesn't have hormones or antibiotics, but it was fed GMO feed. So, and a lot of people don't know that either. It's only the little tiny bit of the counter over there at the meat that's truly organic at Whole Foods, but all the rest of the meat in Whole Foods, and I'm not knocking Whole Foods because I love Whole Foods, as you all know, but it is fed GMO feed unless you are getting the organic, and they don't serve the organic on the salad bar or the taco bar or places like that. As of yet, at least here in Austin, Texas. Some other places, other Whole Foods, they get to make those local decisions, so maybe they are. Okay, so let's get back to detox, or let me just recap here. So the main thing is prevention, and so prevention is in your home, which is where most people spend a fair amount of their time, or at least hopefully 8 hours at night sleeping, which is when you're mainly detoxing. And so prevention, in my opinion, starts in the home, and it starts in the home with the air that you breathe, the food that, and water that you're drinking and eating, and then, you know, the shower or what you're putting on your body. So air filters, water filters, and organic foods if you can. So what really is detoxification? So detoxification is getting rid of toxins. And much of that or the first part of that is really done in the liver. We have something called phase one and phase two detoxification that occur in the liver. And then we go to the kidneys and, you know, and then into the bowel. So what I want to say with detoxification, you want to be sweating, peeing and pooping. This is how we get all these toxins out. And then you want to make sure that you have everything you need to go through phase one and phase two detoxification. Again, I cannot emphasize enough, prevention is the number one. Preventing the stuff from even coming into your body is the first place, the number one thing that you can do for yourself. Once it's in your body, as you're going through phase one detoxification, which is the P450 enzyme in the liver, and you really want to make sure that you have all your nutrients available to help with this process. So many things that are needed for this process are B vitamins. Typically, if you know your MTHFR status, I'm going to have Ben Lynch, who's from MTHFR.net, on in February. We're recording in January, so I'm not sure when it will air. I think that is going to be a great, great podcast because I talk about MTHFR a lot, but I really like someone else, you know, that can really explain this to us. But as you, most of you know, I have two mutations there. So I require 10 times the amount of B vitamins, pre-methylated B vitamins in somebody who doesn't have this. You can get this gene, it's a SNP actually at a gene, tested through your regular lab. I don't know if your doctor will order it for you, but it's called MTHFR and the regular lab will do it. Many of you all know maybe that 23andMe, which was a large, very inexpensive SNP assessment, has been shut down by the FDA. I don't really know the reasons surrounding that. Through my clinic, you can get, or another functional medicine clinic through Genova, there is a estrogenomics profile that has quite a number of SNPs for detoxification. I've done that one on myself before I even knew about the 23andMe. So I know that I don't, you know, make glutathione. I know my MTHFR, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so most of you all probably out there are needing some pre-methylated B vitamins, B12, B6, and then folinic acid. Also the bioflavonoids from vitamin C and then glutathione. Y'all, glutathione is the bomb. It is the biggest detoxifier in our body. Typically, people who are sick either have burned through their glutathione or they are not making glutathione. I personally, again, know my genetics. I do not make glutathione. I don't have the genetics to do it. So what do you do? Well, you can use the precursors to glutathione. Glutathione traditionally is not well absorbed orally. It gets broken down in the gut. IV is the best way to have glutathione. It's very expensive. I've had it. I ordered it for myself when I was going through my detox through heavy metals. This stuff is the bomb. At least for somebody like me who can't make it, I can really tell when I'm taking it. So the precursors to glutathione are things like whey protein, I don't generally advocate that. Most of the people I see have an issue with whey or dairy. And you, of course, want to be making sure that you're getting, you know, if you are eating whey, that you're really getting top quality whey coming from, you know, New Zealand or somewhere like that, that you're getting organic, you know, cows and you're eating this whey. But whey is a good source. But again, I don't advocate that. NAC. NAC, NAC in acetylcysteine, milk thistle, alpha lipoic acid, glycine, magnesium. All of these things help make and boost glutathione levels. We have all that available on our store. I'm sure you can, you know, get it at a compounding pharmacy. Many of you have probably heard this story if you've listened to my podcast on toxic molds. When I was sick with that, I got introduced to a gentleman, Walter, who was a pharmacist who nearly died of toxic mold exposure. And he used to own the largest compounding pharmacy in the country and very, very wealthy man. And he, when he got very sick, tried to find ways to get himself better. And he created a glutathione that is acetylated with nanotechnology and is not broken down in the gut. And I use that in my recovery and have used that with many, many of my patients with excellent results. So testing glutathione levels is very, very difficult. So I have really just gone on what people have told me and seen the results. So that is available either off of our website. It's the glutathione, or it's CitraSafe Ovation glutathione, or you can get it directly from the company. Again, I generally try to sell things cheaper than what's available out there just to help you guys out. So we sell it cheaper than the company, but you can get it directly through them, which is, I don't know if they're listed under PharmaSource or CitraSafe, but you could Google either one or look at the bottle on my website and get the website. I'll also have that on the actual blog of this. So come on over to amymyersmd.com and you know, check out the links there. We'll have all the links. Certainly, if you give them a call, Walter's always happy to talk to anybody. And if you mention my name, you know, I'm sure they'll give you a discount as well. But anyway, this stuff is the bomb. I take tons of it. I actually traveled for the holidays and was re-exposed to some molds. And I normally just take two of the glutathione a day. And I was taking, you know, six or nine just to, you know, get through the situation. So then we go into phase two detoxification, and that's where you really need your amino acids. And this is where I'm finding, you know, a lot of people in my clinic are coming and they're really low in their amino acids, their essential amino acids, the ones you have to get from your diet. So the vegans and vegetarians out there, not to knock you, but you may not be getting those. It's very, very difficult to get those through that type of diet. Or if you're not one of those types of diets and you're eating a paleo diet, but you're just not doing a great job of it, or you just have a poor diet. But more importantly, what I see, and this is where it gets to, you are not what you eat, but you are what you digest and absorb. Frequently, people are, because of, you know, my speaking in the paleo community, I see a fair amount of people who are come from the paleo community, and they are, of course, eating lots of high quality meats, but I will typically find that their amino acids are still low. So why is that? It could be that you have low stomach acid, HCl. You need HCl to digest your amino acids. Could be that you have so many infections in your gut, such as candida or small bowel bacterial overgrowth, that you're not, you know, you're not able to digest and absorb your amino acids. So it really is you are what you digest and absorb rather than you are what you eat. And then it pushes out into our bile and our feces and then, you know, going into our kidney and coming out in our urine. So again, this is where we get into, you know, peeing, pooping, and sweating are the most important things that you do every day to get these toxins out. So when somebody's coming to me and they're telling me, oh, I have a bowel movement every other day or every 3 to 4 days, twice a week, that is a problem. I mean, we should be eating, pooping, eating, pooping, eating, pooping. So if you're not doing that, definitely check out my website for some resources. I'm going to talk about this towards the end of the podcast, but we have a lot of new e-courses and e-books and just resources launching in the new year for you guys to help out. So what are some signs that you really could benefit from detoxing? Well, you know, if you have a diagnosis of autoimmune or cancer, bingo. I mean, that right there is telling you something's going on. Certainly those with the diagnosis of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. And then less sort of quote-unquote severe things like fatigue, migraines, headaches, hormone imbalances, bad PMS, infertility, anxiety, depression, mood swings, brain fog, joint pain, muscle pain, and of course, you know, constipation. So any of these things means really that you could benefit from detoxing. So there's several ways you can go about this. You can go on some crash, you know, detox juice cleanse for, you know, 5 days. I find those things a little extreme. If you want to do that, I mean, awesome, go for it. You got to be careful because you can, you know, you are putting yourself into detox very quickly. And if your pathways are not working correctly, you're going to dump all this stuff into your system and then you're not going to know what to do with it. That's really part of the reason when people go through something like that and they feel achy and fluey and really crummy. It's fine to feel that way a little bit, particularly if you're getting off things that are addictive like sugar or caffeine. But if you're really having a hard time and you're trying to do a juice cleanse for 3, 5, 7, 10 days, you got to be careful that, you know, really, if you're somebody who's pretty sick and doing something like that, I would really advocate that you're also, you know, taking alpha lipoic acid and milk thistle and glutathione and all of these things, vitamin C, to really help process these toxins, because the last thing you want to do is just reabsorb those. So usually in my clinic, what I'm doing is getting people to, you know, the day one you're coming in and we're starting you on, you know, a host of supplements to help with detoxification and ramp up those pathways. And again, I don't know if we have a detox, you know, sort of package on the website, but certainly you can get on there and we have the liver support, which is alpha lipoic acid and milk thistle together. We have the glutathione, we have vitamin C, we have magnesium, we have glycine. And if you're going to really pick, you know, of course, people don't want to be swallowing a million pills and, you know, it gets kind of cost prohibitive. I would definitely get the liver protect, the alpha lipoic acid and milk thistle and some glutathione. If you can't, the glutathione is pretty expensive, but the stuff works. If you can't do that, then I'd probably get like the NAC and the liver protect and maybe the vitamin C. That's where I used to start, was those three. And now that we have the glutathione, I typically, depending on you, if you're somebody coming into me with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, autoimmune, things like that, I'm hoping that you can get the glutathione. So we talked about, you know, food and water and air, and now we're kind of talking about how to support the liver, as we just mentioned, with the supplements that I talked about. And then again, you know, making sure that you're peeing, pooping, and sweating. So if you're not pooping, we find that magnesium citrate is wonderful to help with that. Obviously, if that's not working, you really need to find out why you're not pooping. I know personally now when I eat grains, I get constipated. So, you know, you got to figure out what it is. When I hear constipation, or I've had constipation my whole life, the first thing I think about is a gluten issue. So finding the reason that you're not, you know, are you not eating enough fiber? Are you eating too much junk? Do you have a gluten issue? What is going on that you're not, you know, having bowel movements? And then sweating. As we mentioned, or as I mentioned earlier, you know, my Christmas gift to myself was a sauna. I use sun-lightened infrared saunas, get really great results with them. I used to have a little solo sauna. They're compared to, you know, other saunas, they're relatively inexpensive. But you got to lay down in them, which is awesome for detox. And I love that. But I am a, you know, I'm a, what I want to say, I'm a kill two birds with one stone kind of person. I'm got a lot going on. And so I wasn't able to kind of do two things at once. Somebody might say, well, that's the time to meditate and relax. And yes, it is. If you can do that, awesome. That is a great time to do that. I like to be reading or writing or something like that at the same time. So a friend of mine who's a chiropractor, had basically a brand new one of the stand-up saunas and was getting rid of it. And so that was my Christmas gift to myself. And I'm so excited. I'll probably even take a picture and put it on the blog for you guys. Anyway, infrared saunas, really great for detoxification. Weight loss as well, cardiovascular health. So there are a lot of reasons besides detox. But if you want to work out and make sure you're sweating every day, great. A lot of people don't. For whatever reason, they live in a place where right now it's snowing and cold and they're not getting to the gym. I love having the sauna, sort of my wind down time before I get in the shower and then in bed. But, But anyway, so sunlight and saunas. I can also give you Sarah's website, Sarah's information. Sarah Witkins will also. She's been very helpful to a lot of my patients. If you tell her that that I sent you, she will typically give you a discount on a sauna, and it's Sarah Witkins. And again, I'll put all this in the blog as well at amymyersmd.com. And her phone number is 877-292-0020, extension 153, or she is S. Wickens, S-W-I-C-K-E-N-S, at sunlighten.com, and that's sunlighten.com. So, also, my stepmother found one on Craigslist or somewhere like that. I've had patients find them. It's sort of like people buy things like treadmills and exercise bikes and, all the stuff that people do for New Year's resolutions. They're going to get healthy and do this stuff, and then 6 months later, a year later, it went unused. So that's certainly, again, a possibility for people. When I was getting rid of mine, I sold it on Craigslist. So just know, again, just depending on your sensitivity to things like molds and stuff like that, you just want to be careful that whatever you're getting hasn't come from an environment that then, as you're sitting there with your — this is the stuff I think about, sorry folks, that my mind goes here, but maybe y'all appreciate it. But that there you are in something to detoxify and all your pores are wide open, and then it's there's something in the sauna that's more harmful than not, and you're then absorbing it. So just something to think about. But certainly getting things like this second hand. I mean, I knew with the chiropractor where I got this, it was virtually unused, and I tested it out and felt fine in it. So anyway, those are kind of along with the shower filters and the air filters and eating organic and drinking filtered water. If you can do a sauna as well, maybe your gym has one. That's another great place. A lot of people don't think about that. Dry saunas, the infrareds, the studies show that they are better. Other people say there is no difference. So as long as you're sweating every day, that's what's important here. So that's kind of what I wanted to say on detox. And then I just wanted to spend a minute kind of recapping the fabulous year that we at Austin Ultra Health and I at Amy Myers MD have had, because really without you guys, I would not have had the amazing year that I had. And something else that I want to impart on everyone is really the power of intention and positive thinking. Certainly, yes, you got to go out and have hard work. And I am not suggesting that I don't work my butt off every single day, and that I, have really, worked hard this year, as I have every year. But doors were just flying open for me like never before. I really can't say enough about — yes, I put in a lot of hours, but in some ways, the success of this year was very easy, and you all played a significant role in that. And so I want to appreciate you all, and I want to say, just kind of recap and walk through the year. It's only going to take a few minutes to highlight some of the great things that happened this year. I remember sitting right after Christmas and our first staff meeting of 2013, and I had less than 1,000 Facebook followers, and my goal for the year was to get to 20, and we're there, so thank you all very much. We're a bit over 20,000, so I thank you all. In the beginning, I did do a couple of ads, but the vast, vast, vast majority of that is just you all spreading the word, telling your friends, and sharing my articles. And my second goal was to really write, really to be known for gluten, gut, and autoimmune, because that's really what my book is going to be about. And so I had the vision of becoming an expert in those three areas and being known as the go-to person for those three things. And of course, it all culminates with the being on Dr. Oz that I'll talk about in a minute. As far as my practice, we added a nurse, which was an absolute godsend. So thank you, Julie. Julie is absolutely wonderful. The patients love her, and it was a godsend that I was able to take a couple weeks off and follow a passion and go to India over the summer, which I'll also talk about. We added Addie at the front desk. We had had a front desk person before, and she left to pursue some other passions, and we have Addie now. And then midway through the year, I realized I needed some help with Facebook and you know, organizing the articles and things like that, because things were taking off so much. So we added Acacia, who is also a registered dietitian and nutritionist. So she's doing some nutritional counseling as well as wellness coaching, and then helping me kind of with all the media stuff. So that has been an absolute godsend. I was working literally, multiple jobs, right? I mean, I'm a physician, first and foremost. I owned a business and was managing a practice. And then I was coming home from all of that literally every day and writing articles and posting to Facebook. And as you know, I still do all of those things, but it's just really great to have somebody else helping out as well. My beloved dog of nearly 14 years, Miss Bella, passed away in July. And that was really rough. And as you all know now, I have little Mocha, who's such a sweetie. She is not Bella, but she is our new director of pet therapy. And then in September, I went with the Miracle Foundation, which sponsors or sort of co-hosts orphanages in India, throughout India, and really works with them to provide an incredible family-like atmosphere to orphanages throughout India. And I had raised some money a few years ago to build a building and name it after my mother. And long story short, it ended up being a kitchen that was at an orphanage in India for 140 children. And I was able, because of my fabulous staff at Austin Ultra Health, to take 2 weeks off and go over to India. It was my first time leaving the country since I've really been practicing what I preach with the gluten-free, dairy-free, paleo lifestyle, and was very nervous about that and nervous about getting sick, and all went incredible. And I have a podcast on that as well for those who are interested in just kind of what that experience was and, you know, traveling internationally and having such a sort of quote unquote restricted diet. So I literally took a lot of food with me over there, but that was a dream come true to see that this orphanage, to see the kitchen be built, the smokeless stoves that, you know, now we're not making the house mothers and the cooks sick and able to provide meals for 140 children. And the Miracle Foundation, also an Austin-based organization, but obviously their outreach is to India, is an incredible organization. The Miracle Foundation, I think it's miraclefoundation.org, and I'll put that link as well. And so that was an incredible trip. And then in November, the highlight was, of course, getting called by the Dr. Oz show, which was incredible. And I think I wrote this, but I'll say it here because I know everybody doesn't read every article and listen to every podcast. But the power of intention, not only to all the things that I mentioned before, but the power of intention of, I started my first ever vision board. I had never done anything like that. And on Monday, I started a vision board in preparation for what I was envisioning for 2014. And I put a picture of Dr. Oz on my vision board, with the idea that I would be on the Oz show for my book, once it's released. And literally 2 days later, I walk out of my office and Acacia says to me, "Did you hear that the Dr. Oz show called you?" And I said, "Oh my God, no." And I was walking back into a patient. They said, "Yeah, they want you to, you know, be on the show. They need you to talk to you by 4 o'clock today." And I think it's like 2 at this point. And I said, "Call them back and say yes to whatever it is. I don't care when it is or what it is, say yes." So then finally, they, of course, needed to speak with me, and then they decided on Thursday. I flew up on Saturday. We filmed on Monday, and, you know, they had viewed me as the expert on gluten sensitivity. They had just found me on the internet and thought that I was the expert about gluten sensitivity. So, you know, that was just incredible to have reached a goal that was, you know, going to happen hopefully in a year or two, you know, so much earlier. And then also my goal of being viewed as the expert on gluten, gut, and autoimmune. And then there I was being called by the Dr. Oz show, which was not even in my realm of possibilities. And then the next Monday it aired. So it was a complete whirlwind. And then on that Monday that the show aired was also the day that my book editor, that my book agent, took my book proposal out to to be seen. Now, Harper One, which is a subsidiary of HarperCollins, had a first right of refusal to the book. Gideon, who's the vice president of editor there, senior editor there, had actually asked me to write a book. And that's how I even got that idea in my head and started, and then wasn't the perfect timing, and really decided to spend my year doing exactly what I did, writing and getting known for gluten, gut, and autoimmune. And so verbally, we had given him first right of refusal to the book. And thankfully, the Dr. Oz show had aired, and I had gotten such great reviews from people. And we got an incredible book advance that we didn't even need to shop it to anybody else. So the book will be out in March 2015. Yes, it does take that long to get a book published. First, it needs to be written. So the first, we're delivering the book in April. So the first couple of months here of 2014 will be spent writing the book. And then in 2015, it will be coming out. So you'll be hearing a lot more about it in the spring of this year once they have the book and then they make the cover. We'll already be promoting it. So, of course, my next goal is for it to be a New York Times bestseller. And most importantly, the most incredible part of all of this was, you know, being on Oz was everybody kept asking me, well, what did it do for you? And really, besides helping get a much better book advance, what it did for me is having strangers write that how they had already gone gluten-free and how it helped them, or people writing since then telling me they've gone gluten-free and how it's changed their lives, and friends who telling me, you know, my parents saw you on the show and never in my wildest dreams would I have thought they would have gone gluten-free, but they're going to try it. And really what it did for me was to reach that many more people. Because going gluten-free is so simple and it can be so powerful for so many people. And that really for me, for better or worse, about Dr. Oz and how the next segment right afterwards was about whole grains and how confusing it can be to people. But the idea that they did that segment and wanted to do that segment and the number of people that it reached was just incredible. And that's what it did for me. It just really gave me the ability to reach that many more people. And that's what I'm looking for with the book as well, that there are so many people suffering unnecessarily with autoimmune that can, you know, can be reversed and can be symptom free without being on really heavy duty medication. And I'll just share one success story. There's so many from the year, but a success story, as you all may or may not know, what I had was Graves' disease, which is an overactive autoimmune disease of the thyroid. And I searched high and low. And if you don't know my story, you can listen to my first podcast. And of course, it will be in the book as well about all the things that I did to try to heal myself from that and was not successful, and tried the medicine and it gave me toxic hepatitis. And then I eventually had to have my thyroid ablated. So I had it blown up like Hiroshima, and I have to take, take armor now. And, you know, there's no way that the armor is the same as my own thyroid. So I am as healthy as I can be, but my life has definitely, you know, been altered because of that. And so one of my patients recently had Graves' disease, and we've successfully gotten her off of the medicine that they had her on, which was the same I was on to suppress her thyroid. And she no longer has thyroid antibodies. Her thyroid labs are normal. She feels great, and she is not on any medicine. And of course, those stories are just so bittersweet for me to know that I have helped someone that was in my boat and successfully recover from it. You know, it bums me out that I didn't know me when I was going through that. I certainly would have loved to have found somebody like me to have reversed it in me so I didn't have to do something that was irreversible. But it also is why I do what I do and why I'm so passionate about what I do. And I hope that in my book, by people reading that, and of course her story will be shared along with mine, that people see that they don't have to go to such drastic measures and that they can recover naturally and easily and you know, successfully and be symptom-free and medication-free. So I, again, thank you all so much for your support of me. I genuinely appreciate each and every one of you all, and I hope that you will continue to spread the word and spread the message so that, you know, this continues to grow and more people realize that there is a solution to the root cause of their problem, and we can find it and we can solve it. And so, you know, in 2014, in the next week or so, I'll have a new website launching. We're combining the website of my clinic and my blog into one website, Amy Myers MD. So everything will be Amy Myers MD, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, the website, everything will have a new face, new cover, new sort of logo or whatnot. And we have lots of resources coming out. Hopefully they will be up by the end of January as well. I've created some e-courses with my program, the Myers Way Comprehensive Elimination Diet, the Myers Way Guide to the Gut. So it's an e-course healing your gut, which I think will be very, very successful. That is probably the number one thing. People have tried this, that, and the other. And really what's missing is healing the gut. And then, of course, the Myers Way Guide to Gluten Free Living. And so those will be three e-courses that will be out just again so I can try to reach more people. I know everybody can't get on the plane to see me. I know everybody can't afford to fly to Austin and do all of that. And so that will be available to you. And of course, we have wellness coaching available. And if you are looking to detox or get jump-started on something, we still have our guided, we call it a cleanse, but it's our Myers Way Elimination Diet with the nutritionist that walks you through the program that I have all of my patients do. It comes with the supplements that I put my patients on, and you get some wellness coaching with either Acacia or Breanne, my two registered dietitian nutritionists. And if you're somebody who's been through this before and just kind of needs a reset, we also created a reset, which is, you know, just kind of some protein powders and getting you back on track. You already know you have gluten, dairy is an issue, and you've kind of fallen off the wagon. This is just a quick 14-day reset to get you back on track and feeling good. So those things are available to you if you're looking to do something for the new year. And coming shortly after that will be the other programs. And again, thank you all so much for all of your support. I wish everyone a very, very happy new year and looking forward to a very successful 2014. Thanks so much. Take care.
To stay in touch with Dr. Myers, you can sign up for her newsletter on her website at dramymyers.com or connect with her on Facebook or Twitter at amymyersmd.